Today's reading comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 28. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. This is God's word for us. You may be seated.
Thank you, Floyd. Good morning and welcome to the gathering of Grace Community Church. If you don't know me, my name is Scott Heemstra. I am on staff with the Navigators and lead the Navigators College Ministry at the University of Iowa. My wife and I have been on staff with the Navs for 14 years. We've been here at Grace Community Church for the last 6 years. I am also an elder in training here at Grace. And as you heard Josh say, I am going to be preaching at the third service here in a few weeks. Before I bring you the word this morning, so before we get into the scriptures, I just want to share two things with you and invite you to two things. First, since I'm in college ministry, I have to talk about college ministry. College students are coming here in about 3 weeks. 5,000 freshmen will be showing up at the University of Iowa for the first time. And 25,000 plus other grad students, upperclassmen will be arriving, and we are so excited. We have been praying for the students as they are preparing to come. One such student is Addie. A few weeks ago, we got contacted by a girl named Addie. She's an incoming freshman. And as Addie reached out to us expressing interest in getting connected and being in a Bible study, I also got an email personally from Addie's mentor, her discipler back home. And Addie's mentor begins to share with me some of Addie's story, that she actually just recently came to Christ in high school, and she comes out of a really broken and abusive home. And as Addie is coming to the University of Iowa, this is what her mentor said, and I quote, that Addie is at a critical point in her life spiritually. And this is what we are trusting God for here in a few weeks, that there will be many students like Addie that we'll get to meet, that we believe that God is bringing students to the University of Iowa, and they will be at a critical point in their life spiritually. And we are praying that they will get to meet Jesus if they don't know him, that they will get plugged in with community, that they will really grow in their walks with Jesus. And so I just want to invite you, church, would you pray? Would you pray for these college students? As they come, would you be praying that they will be at this critical point spiritually and that they will meet Jesus and walk deeply with him? Pray for us as we meet thousands of students here in the coming weeks. We are excited. That's my first invitation. The second invitation, Josh already said it, but I want to personally invite you to consider the third service. Would you pray about coming three times? So once a month, so three times in that 11 weeks. But would some of you pray about coming every single week? If that's you, I would love to talk with you. I'd love to get to know you, share a little bit more of my story and what gets me excited. But I'm personally just so excited for what God is doing here at Grace and through this third service. It gets me excited to think about this third service trying to a smaller, close-knit community that we can go deep with one another. And I'm excited for new ways to serve, right? Josh mentioned them. There's a lot of ways to serve and to get plugged in. And I'm excited for opportunities. I actually had one of my former students come up to me a few weeks ago at a wedding. And she told me that she actually just got a new job. And she's been attending here at Grace. And she can't come here on Sunday mornings. She says, I am so excited for this third service and to be able to come Sunday night. And I'm excited for all the growth that we get to see as we take steps of faith together. And so that's my invite as we start today. Would you pray for college students? Would you pray for college students? And would you consider this third service? And would we be people who take steps of faith? Isn't this what we've been talking about here over the last few weeks? We're in a sermon series looking at living by faith. And we've been seeing person after person living by faith, taking steps of faith, as we've been looking through Hebrews 11. And we get to do the same. Maybe even as I was giving you those invites, I would guess that maybe there's some fear that wells up in you as you think about, do I want to do a third service? Do I want to change my rhythm, my schedule? I've been going to church in the morning for years. Well, this morning, as we continue this series looking at the heroes of faith, we're going to be looking at Moses. And we're going to be looking at Moses and how he responds to fears. We get to take a peek behind the curtain of the story of Moses. As we look at Hebrews 11, 23 to 28, those few verses cover the first 15 chapters of Exodus. And it shows us really what Moses was believing in those 15 chapters. And we will see that Moses is a man of faith in spite of fear, that he had fearless faith. And we'll see where his fearless faith starts. We're going to see what it looked like. How does he have it and what results from fearless faith? And as we do this, we're going to think about our own faith and what it looks like for us. So go ahead and grab your Bibles and open to Hebrews 11, 23 to 28 as I pray for our time together. So Father, we praise you. We thank you that we get to gather here this morning. We get to worship and we get to hear from your word. Lord, will you continue to encourage us, challenge us in our faith? Lord, will we see Moses' faith? Will encourage us and challenge us to also have fearless faith and to trust you and to look to the rewards that are coming. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So first, where does our fearless faith start? Where does our fearless faith start? Before we get to see Moses, we actually need to look at his parents. We get to see his parents' faith. Look at verse 23. It says, By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. So what did they do? To understand what they did, we need to go back to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, and we get to see why they even had to hide him in the first place. So Joseph had brought the people of God to Egypt to escape a famine. And after 400 years, the people of God had been in Egypt, and they had multiplied. They had grown. They were everywhere. The people of God were everywhere. And there was a new Pharaoh. And this new Pharaoh, as he came to power, he was fearful of the people. He was fearful of the people of God and what they would do. Would they rebel? Would they leave? And so he makes a decree in Exodus 1:22. And this is the decree. He says, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, and you shall let every daughter live. So Moses' parents have a choice. Are they going to kill their son and throw him into the Nile? Or are they going to refuse listening to the king? And we see that Moses' parents, they choose to refuse, and they hide Moses. Why? Why did they do this? Look back at verse 23. It says that they saw something. What did they see? They saw that he was beautiful. Now, every parent thinks their baby's beautiful, right? You get them out and they look at them. Oh, so cute, right? We think our children are beautiful and we love showing them off. But this is different. This isn't just a physical beauty. This goes beyond a physical beauty. No, Moses' mom and dad saw something by faith. They saw that Moses was beautiful in God's sight, that he was favored by God, that he was God's. And so by faith, trusting God, they didn't fear. They didn't fear the king's edict. They didn't fear what he could do to them. And so they hid him. They hid him as long as they could. They hid him for 3 months. And then as Moses is getting bigger, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? So they take Moses and they put him in a basket and they put him down the Nile River. And this is where one of the most astounding things happens. As he's floating down the river, he is pulled out by none other than Pharaoh's daughter. And what is she supposed to do? She is supposed to drown that baby. But she doesn't. But she adopts him as her own. He is brought as an adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, an adopted grandson of the king, of the very person that wants him dead. This is wild. Verse 23 summarizes the first 1.5 chapters of Exodus. And we'll fast forward in Moses' life, and we'll see that his faith actually mirrors, it rhymes with, it imitates what we just saw his parents do. Moses' parents had a fearless faith that said no to the king, to kill their own baby, because they were looking at something. They were looking at God's beauty and blessing on their son. And it led to Moses' deliverance into the household of the king. And so for us this morning, a question to get us started as we think about Moses and his faith and his fearless faith and where it started is, where does our fearless faith start? Who modeled it for us? Who modeled fearless faith for you? Whose faith are you imitating? Or who's imitating your faith? Who's looking at you and seeing how you are living in light of what you see in God? This is what we see here in this first verse. We see faith modeled. Right? This is why we want to be here at church on Sunday. Why when we want to get plugged in, be in community, so we can see faith displayed. People trusting God even when it seems impossible. Like, can I keep going? And we see other people's faith. Why we're in groups, why we want to be mentored and discipled. So who is modeling faith for you, and who are you modeling it to? For me, I think about in college. Again, I'm a college minister, so I'm going to tell a lot of college stories. Think about in college, I came to know Jesus my junior year of college, and I met a guy named Brian shortly after I came to know Jesus. And Brian begins to mentor me, to disciple me, to teach me how to read my Bible, how to pray, how to share my faith, and I get to see Brian's fearless faith on display. I think one of the most impactful things for me in Brian's faith was seeing how he courageously chose to make decisions that were different than anybody else. Because Brian, when I met him, he was a fifth-year senior who was living in the dorms for a fifth year in order to reach guys like me. Who does that? Who wants to stay in the dorms for 5 years? But what Brian did was he looked and he saw that God was so great that he would choose to live in the dorms to try to reach people like me. And it has impacted how I live because of Brian's faith. So how are you living because of other people's faith? Or who is seeing yours? Because as we look at this next verse, we're going to fast forward decades in Moses' life. And we're going to see that his faith, his fearless faith that was modeled to him, impacts him. Look at verse 24. It says, by faith, when Moses had grown up. So he's grown up, he's lived his whole life where? In Pharaoh's house. He's lived his whole life in Pharaoh's home. What does Moses' fearless faith look like? It looks just like his parents. He actually refuses and he chooses. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused. He rejected. He pushed back against. He denied. He said no longer. What did he refuse? He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We can't even begin to wrap our minds around what he's refusing. We can't even begin to wrap our minds around it, because remember where he's at. He's in Pharaoh's home. He is the adopted grandson of the king. Egypt at the time was at its height. It was at its pinnacle. It was at its most powerful. This was one of the most powerful, wealthiest nations on the planet. Pharaoh thought of himself, claimed to be a god. This was unprecedented power. And Moses refused. He said no. Moses refused position. Moses refused position. He was an adopted son. He refused his position in the family. No longer identifying as her son, he rejected all the status, all the privilege, all the rights of the family. He rejected being the prince of Egypt. And now you're all thinking about the movie. You're welcome. But he was rejecting position. He was also rejecting possessions. He had all the treasures of Egypt at his fingertips. He could have had anything he wanted. But not only that, he rejected pleasures. Any desire, any whim could have been his. Anything he could have imagined, anything he could have thought that would satisfy him even a little bit could have been his. And Moses said no. He refused. He rejected position, possessions, pleasures, so he could choose something different. What did he choose? Look at verse 25. He chose mistreatment. He chose mistreatment. He chose cruelty. He chose to join in and to share in the suffering of the people of God. He chose to join in with the pain of the people instead of the pleasures of sin. Remember, the people of God, they are slaves. Their kids are being killed. They have more and more demanded of them. Less straw, more bricks. Work harder, do more. And Moses, by faith, says, I'm going to join you. I'm going to join you. How many of us would take that trade? Anything you could think of for the pain of slavery. How many of you would take that? Even with what measly positions, possessions, and pleasures we have today, compared to what Moses would have had, how many of you would trade that today? None of us. And what we see Moses do is he refused so he could choose something different. It was actually something better. So the question before us is, what are the positions, possessions, pleasures that we need to refuse so we can choose a deeper relationship with God, a deeper walk with God, to be a part of God's people and be with him? Another way to say this is, what if you were asked, what would you not give up for God? If you were asked, what would you not give up for God? We probably all have maybe something coming into your minds. Again, another college story. I remember as a student, I was meeting with my discipler, my mentor, and he could see right into me. We'd been meeting for a long time, and he knew what those positions, those pleasures, those possessions that I wanted so badly. And he looks at me, and he says, would you give up your grades for God? He knew what my idol was. He knew what was the focus of my life. And I remember as he asked that question, I just hung my head. And I look back up at him, I just go, I don't know. Later, as I reflected on that question, I realized that me saying I don't know was me saying no in that moment. And I had to go to God and wrestle with, what? Why wouldn't I give this up for you? Why do I want to hold on to this so bad? Because whatever this is, whatever it is for you, we all have something. And the interesting thing is that it changes all the time. It's no longer grades for me. Right? But actually what those grades were, those were me looking at my future, my future career, my future income, thinking this is what I need to be satisfied. And it changes. But whatever it is, we all have it. Whatever we say, no, I wouldn't give this up for you, God. No, this is too much. Whatever this is where our heart is at, where our minds are fixed on. And God wants our hearts. He wants us to trust him. And we see that Moses has fearless faith here to refuse and to choose. But the question is, how? How in the world does he do this? How does he have fearless faith, and how do we? Now, this isn't some just pull up your bootstraps, work harder, be better, do more. This isn't stop being afraid, because fear is probably still going to be there. But verse 26 and 27, we see that Moses has this fearless faith because of where his mind and his eyes are fixed upon. It's because of what he is thinking and seeing. We know he was afraid. In the story in the book of Exodus, we know he's so afraid that when God asks him to go to Pharaoh to demand the freedom of his people, he says, God, find someone else. I can't do it. I don't speak good, right? And he tells God no, and God's like, well, you're going to do it. So he's fear. He has fear in this fear. But we see here in Hebrews that Moses considers something. Look at verse 26. It says, he considered. I love this word, consider. It means to account. It means to weigh both sides of the ledger. It means to look at something from all angles and facets. It means that you have thought hard about it. We don't accidentally consider something. It's not something we do flippantly. No, to consider means you've applied your mind. You have thought really hard about it. And so what is Moses applying his mind to do? What is he considering? He considers the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. So Moses is thinking hard about Jesus. Moses is thinking hard about Christ. I don't even get this. This is centuries before Jesus even came. And Moses, we see here in Hebrews, is thinking about Jesus. He probably doesn't even know Jesus' name, but he knew that there was a promised Messiah to come, a Christ that was to come, a Savior, and his mind was fixed on him. Church, can we even keep our minds fixed on Christ 15 minutes after we leave this building? Let alone we see Moses fixing his mind on Christ centuries before Jesus even came. And so Moses, as he considered, he takes account and he decides that Jesus is actually better than anything else. He's better than anything else. So his mind is fixed, but also, keep going in verse 26, so were his eyes. Where was he looking? What was he seeing? At the end of verse 26, says he was looking to the reward. And at the end of verse 27, it says that he endured, right? He kept going. He was able to do this in spite of fear because he was seeing him who is invisible. Moses had everything. Hit everything that we could even imagine, all worldly position, possessions, pleasures at his fingertips. And Moses is seeing that there's actually something even better. His eyes are fixed on a greater reward. His eyes are fixed on the invisible that he can't even see yet, namely Christ that is to come. And for us, and for Moses, this greater reward, right? Where was Moses? He was in the household of the king. There is a greater king. When we trust in Jesus, we are brought into the kingdom of God as sons and daughters of the king of the universe. That is a greater position. There is a greater reward that's a greater possession. We don't have all the treasures of Egypt. We actually have all the treasures of the heavenly realms. We have an inheritance in the heavenly realm. We have a Father who loves us, who created all things and owns all things. And the reward is greater pleasure. God promises us that in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And yet, church, we often settle. I love the C.S. Lewis quote from The Weight of Glory. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. Church, we are far too easily pleased. And we can't even begin to wrap our minds around the reward that God has for us, what it looks like to be his sons and daughters of the king of the universe, to have all of the possessions and pleasures offered to us in the kingdom of heaven. But Moses does. He shows us what it looks like to refuse and choose because he was looking to something. His mind was fixed on something besides us. Moses' mind and eyes were fixed on Christ and what he will do and what he has promised. And so the question is, what is our minds and eyes fixed upon? And this is hard. It's hard. I've already said it's hard to keep our minds and eyes fixed on Christ, to keep our minds and eyes fixed on the reward. So I have four boys. It's a wild time in my household. And we try to get them to do chores. Again, it's a wild time to try to get them to do chores. And 2 days ago, my wife was trying to get our oldest son to empty the dishwasher and to do his laundry, of which happens, you know, often. And so she tried this time to give an incentive, to give an award, a reward. And the reward was that he got to play his Switch. He got to play his Switch. And so my wife tells our son this, and he gets excited, and he's like, I am going to do these dishes. And that lasted all of about 30 seconds before he was done. And he was done to the extent that he's throwing a fit for like 2 hours, and Paige is trying to get him to do these dishes and to fold his laundry. It is hard to keep our eyes on the reward. Even if you can see the Switch, it's hard to keep your eyes on the reward. How much harder is it to keep our eyes on the reward when we can't even see it? When we can't even see it. Because there is so much, church, that's trying to grab our attention, to fill our mind space. It's hard to fix our eyes and mind on Christ. The world we live in, everything is trying to capture our attention, from phones to apps to commercials. They're literally designed to keep more of our eyeballs on the screen, to keep our minds focused on them. So what often happens is that we are just glancing at God and we're gazing at the world. Church, would we flip this? Would we gaze at God and glance at the world? Ask yourself, where does your mind go? Where are your eyes fixed upon? What will you be thinking about 15 minutes after you leave here, let alone on Tuesday, right? Would we fix our eyes and mind on Christ? Because as we refuse and choose, as we think and look to Christ, we see something result from it. What results from faith? Verses 27, 28. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. So here we see that Moses and the people of God, they were enslaved in Egypt, and death is coming for them. They needed deliverance. They needed to be set free from their bondage and captivity, and they needed the destroyer to pass over them. And Moses, by faith, was the deliverer that God used to say, let my people go, to lead them out of slavery and bondage. And by faith, they sprinkled the blood of a spotless lamb so that the destroyer would pass over. Like Moses and the people of God are enslaved, so are we. And the Bible tells us that we are also dead in our sin apart from Christ. And we need a greater deliverer, something greater than Moses, something greater just than a spotless lamb. We need Jesus, who is both our deliverer and our spotless lamb, who has paid the price for our sins to deliver us from slavery of sin and to make us alive in Christ. And so by faith, we are freed and brought into a new kingdom. And we are made alive in Christ if you trust in him. So have you been set free? Do you know him? Have you believed in him and been set free and made alive? And if you have, now we get to live in light of this deliverance. In this day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. The question is, do we live like we are still in bondage? Do we live like we are still dead in our sins? Often I wonder if we live in this quiet panic where we're trying to find our own escape or we're trying to find our own life because our eyes are fixed so many places. And here in this passage, we actually see that that place that we can fix our eyes is on fear. Did you notice something in this passage? This passage is bookended by fear. We see Moses' parents actually saying no to fear, and we see Moses saying no to fear, not giving in to fear. Fear is normal. We're going to experience fear. This is a natural response. So it's not just some absence of just, hey, don't fear. That's not going to help anybody. But this is by faith. When we have fear, we look to Jesus, and we see that we've already been delivered. Because when we fear, we want to run back to the things that enslave us. This often is taking us back to those positions, those possessions, those pleasures. And it could come out in a couple ways. It could be a fear of others. Fearing, what are people going to do? Who was Moses and Moses' parents afraid of or not afraid of? The king, right? He literally wanted them dead. Who are we afraid of? What are we afraid of what people will think of us? Maybe we're afraid of what people are going to think about our positions, our possessions, our pleasures that we enjoy or we don't have. And we have this fear well up in us. But this also could come out in the fear of missing out or the fear of the unknown, fear of not having. Like, I'm not going to have these positions. I'm not going to have these pleasures. I'm not going to have these possessions. What if I miss out? What if I want them? What if God doesn't come through? Or what if what I had was better? Isn't this what the people of God did in the Exodus? As Moses leads them out and they're now in the wilderness, this is exactly what the people of God did. They look back and they say, I want to go back to slavery. What I had back in Egypt was better. Better food, all we have is this bread that's falling from heaven. And I want better food. And they complain and they grumble, just like my son, right? Just like we all do as we begin to have fear well up in us and we take our eyes off of Jesus. And we wonder, is God going to come through? Am I going to have enough? I was meeting with a student 2 weeks ago. She'd come to know Christ within the last 6 months. And she asks me this question. She says, do you ever miss your old life before you came to know Jesus? She knew that I came to know Jesus in college and she had just come to know Jesus. And she asked me this question and it kind of caught me off guard because I hadn't ever thought about, do I miss my old life? And as I began to ask her questions, I began to hear her say that she's really fearful of this fall. She's really fearful now that she's been trying to walk with Jesus and grow in her relationship with Jesus. She's afraid to come back for the fall because she's afraid of missing out. Am I going to miss out? Am I going to have friends? Am I going to miss out on not being able to do the things that I know I shouldn't do? She's so fearful. I appreciated her honesty. And I wonder how much we have something like that as we begin to learn to live out of this new reality that we've been delivered in Christ. She was learning how to bring her fears to Jesus, how to refuse the world and choose the things of God, how to put her mind and her eyes on Christ. And it's hard, right, church? This is hard. So how do we need a daily walk in this freedom and this deliverance that we have? What fears do we need to bring to God? Moses had fearless faith, first modeled by his parents. He was refusing the things of the world and he was choosing the things of God with his mind and his eyes fixed on Christ, experiencing delivery from slavery and death. What about us? What do we need to refuse and choose? What are the things that you would say, God, I don't know if I could live without this. Where are your eyes and your minds fixed? Would you fix them on Christ? Would you fix them on Christ day by day, hour by hour? And would you help one another do so? We need one another to do this. Have you experienced this deliverance through Christ? And are you walking in it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you that, Jesus, you are the one that delivers us. That you are the greater reward. Lord, we know this is hard to fix our minds and eyes on this. Lord, will we, by faith, not fear others or what would be missing? But Lord, would we look to you? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Go in grace.